2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to pick up where we left off this morning at verse 3. We'll go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 to get our place. Let's pray together and then we'll read. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for our fellowship in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight. Your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Lord, that you would help us to stay in the truth, to not be deceived or led astray, but that we would continue in the simplicity that is in Christ. Help us to gain understanding and wisdom tonight and to walk in that wisdom by your grace. Help us to be real disciples who are continuing, abiding in your word, bearing much fruit for your glory, and help us to be disciples who make disciples. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another gospel, another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. As the apostle continues to defend his apostleship and his ministry, we talked a lot about that picture of the wedding this morning, that espousal, that betrothal, and now we want to move on as he admonishes them to keep their minds in the simplicity that is in Christ. I think we as human beings have a tendency to make things too complicated sometimes. Amen. The gospel is not complicated. The gospel is simple. And the kingdom is not difficult to enter into. We have to enter in. As a matter of fact, we have to become like small children and enter in through childlike faith. But false teachers, of course, Satan at the heart of that, false teachers, our own carnal minds, we just have a tendency to make things more complicated than they are. And Paul wanted them to keep their minds in the simplicity that is in Christ. He didn't want them to have their mind corrupted from that. And to have your mind corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ is something to fear. Amen. It's something for us to be concerned about, that we would be led astray. He says, I fear that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me remind you tonight what happened there in the garden. Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. As Paul's defending his apostleship and his ministry, as he's worried about false teachers leading people astray, his mind casts back to the garden and how Eve was deceived. She was beguiled. She was tricked by Satan. And the apostle's concern was that the people in the church at Corinth, the saints at Corinth, could be deceived in the same way that Eve was. So if Eve was deceived, created by God without a sin nature, deceived and tricked into sinning against God, if she could be deceived And Paul was concerned that the people at Corinth could be deceived. Do you think it's fair to assume that you and I could be deceived in the same way that Eve was? That we could be beguiled by Satan, that Satan could trick us, that Satan could trap us, that Satan could lay out a snare for us, and we could end up in that snare. And look at what it is. The snare would bring us, look back at verse 3, the snare would corrupt our minds from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Amen.
Corruption, we don't use that word a lot except to talk about the government. And certainly that applies in many cases. But this idea of corruption goes far beyond that. This is the idea of something that is decayed. This corruption is when you drive down the highway on a hot summer day and you smell that roadkill from 3 days ago. That's corruption. And he says, I'm worried about you. I'm afraid for you. I'm concerned for you that in the same way that Eve was deceived, your minds would be corrupted. Your minds would be decayed. Your minds would be brought away from the simplicity that's in Christ. He uses strong language here, and rightly so, because anytime we get away from the simplicity that's in Christ, anytime we're moved away from the simplicity that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, anytime we're moved away from this, that we are sinners who were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God in his great love and mercy wherewith he loved us, Christ died for us, was buried and rose again, and simply by faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we've been given life.
Amen.
And anytime we're moved away from that, that's deadly dangerous.
Right.
It's deadly dangerous. So keep your mind in the simplicity that's in Christ. Friends, we need to let the gospel be central to everything we believe and everything that we do.
Amen.
It's always going to come back to that. And we're so easily distracted. We go down every rabbit trail that comes along. We are so easily caught into every debate that happens in Christianity. And I'm going to tell you this. I know a lot of you are on social media. Some of you aren't. God bless you. But listen, if you're on social media and you follow any Christian people, any pastors or authors or any teachers that are online, I'm telling you, it seems like the only thing a lot of Christians like to do today is to debate with other Christians. Like, what are we doing? Except for to try to prove that I'm right and you're wrong, why aren't we just staying focused on the simplicity
Amen.
That's in Christ?
Amen.
He says, I fear that you would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Look at verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you have received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, the end phrase there is kind of difficult. I've been wrestling with that. Every time I read this, I wrestle with that. But I believe that it's just this simple. Paul says these are false apostles, these false teachers that come in, these men that try to say that I'm not a real apostle, even though I'm the one that brought you the gospel. He says those people who come in, if they start preaching another Jesus, or they have a different spirit, or they have another gospel, he's like, you might go along with them.
Amen.
It's very likely that you would go along with them because you've been easily deceived. I think it's just as simple as that.
Amen.
You might well bear with them. In other words, Paul, it's almost like he's saying, like, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody came in and they seem to be more eloquent than me, or they seem to be stronger than me, or they seem to be more wealthy than me, or they seem to look better than me, that if they came in and preached another Jesus, you would bear with them. Like, you would put up with that. You would go along with that. These people accused Paul of being weak. They accused Paul of not having good speech. In other words, he wasn't like the philosophers, the Greek philosophers, who were able to really hold an audience. He wasn't a great orator like some of them. And they had all these accusations. And look how poor the apostle is. He doesn't have great wealth like we have. And they had all these attacks. And he says, these guys come in and they have a flashy show. You might even listen to them even if they have a different spirit.
Amen.
Even if they're preaching another gospel. And so Paul's fear is greatly founded, I believe, because these people were easily deceived. Friends,
Amen.
There's only one Jesus.
Amen.
He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek
Amen.
Him. You must believe that he is, that Christ is who the Word of God says that he is.
Amen.
A lot of people believe in Jesus. I've had a couple of discussions lately about our friends who might be Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, if you talk to them and you ask them if they believe in Jesus or who is Jesus, they'll tell you they believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you would all say amen to that. But when you really start to really narrow down what they actually believe, they don't believe that Jesus is the creator of all things.
Amen.
But the Word of God can't be any clearer.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word was with God.
Amen.
And the Word was God.
Amen.
And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the
Amen.
Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, even as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. We know that Jesus is the creator of all things.
Amen.
He created all things, and by him all things consist. And so, listen, there are people who talk about another Jesus, but there's only one true Jesus.
Amen.
Of Nazareth, the creator of all things. We have to know him through his word, and we can't listen to another Jesus. How do we know which Jesus? Well, it's the Jesus that the apostle preached.
Amen.
Well, how do we know about the Jesus he preached? Well, the Spirit of God moved in him and he wrote about him.
Amen.
So we can know the Jesus that Paul preached. We can know the Jesus that Luke preached. We can know the Jesus that John preached. We can know the Jesus that they preached, the Jesus that they walked with, the Jesus that they knew, because we have it recorded for us.
Amen.
In the Word of God.
Amen.
This Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Not the Jesus that you hear about in songs, necessarily. Not the worldview of who Jesus is according to the world, but who Jesus is according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
And friends, if you don't know him through his word, then you don't know him.
Amen.
That's kind of harsh, isn't it? But he has revealed himself through his word.
Amen.
And that's how we have to know him.
Amen.
Another spirit that you have not received. Our King James translators didn't capitalize the word spirit here. It was their view, apparently, that this wasn't the Holy Spirit that they received. And maybe it's just that. It's the Greek word pneuma, and sometimes it refers to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it refers to the idea of spirit or attitude that we might use. But I'll just say this. I'm persuaded that this may be more likely to be the Holy Spirit. When Paul came and preached the gospel and the people believed, they received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They received the Spirit of God by faith, who was the earnest of the inheritance, the Spirit that lives inside of them, the Spirit that quickens us and makes us alive. And there is another spirit.
Amen.
In those who preach a false gospel.
Amen.
There is another spirit in those who preach another Jesus. There is another spirit in them. And so is there a spirit in false teachers? You bet. But it's not the Spirit of God.
Right.
It's not the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
And so there are spirits. There are those powers that be in this world. And there are those things that would make somebody very attractive and very easy to listen to and very charismatic. But that doesn't mean that they have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So we got to try the spirits, whether they're of God. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one spirit that comes from God. Now, to be fair, maybe they got it right. It should be lowercase spirit. And maybe it's just the spirit of meekness and the spirit of humility and the fruits of the spirit that we might have. But whatever the case is, there is a spirit that comes through faith in the one true Jesus.
Amen.
And we don't need to listen to those who have a different spirit. Another gospel. He's writing to the saints. He's writing to those who had put their faith in Christ. He's writing to those who had been saved and sanctified and who were being sanctified, those who were living with the hope of the gospel because of their faith in Jesus. They had received a gospel that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the creator of all things, who died for their sins, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, and who promised to come again, who gives the hope of the resurrection to those who believe. That's the gospel that he had preached. And he says, some might come and preach another gospel, and I'm afraid you might go with that other gospel. There's only one gospel. It's not the gospel that you accepted. It's a different gospel. And you need to avoid another gospel.
Amen.
We very often try to avoid conflict, and rightly so many times. But friends, there are some things in this world worth fighting for.
Amen. Amen.
The truth of who Jesus is worth fighting for.
Amen. Amen.
The truth of the gospel is worth fighting for. Right. And friends, we wouldn't be here tonight if our forefathers didn't know and believe that it was worth dying for.
Amen. Amen.
What an insult. Less so to the names of those who have died to defend these truths. But what an insult to Christ himself.
Amen.
That we're not willing to stand for the truth for fear of offending someone. God help us to be concerned about offending him.
Amen.
You might well bear with them. For I suppose, verse 5, I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. Now, this could be taken a couple of different ways. Some would say that verse 5 is talking about the chiefest apostles, as in the original apostles, the 11, excluding Judas, that it was those apostles. He says, I'm not behind any of them. I am an apostle as much as they are. Some others would take it to be kind of a little bit of, we might call holy sarcasm, talking about those who had come in as false teachers claiming to be apostles, who supposed themselves to be some kind of super apostles, greater apostles. And I tend to think that that's what he's talking about. He's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they came in and taught this stuff. And he says, I'm not lacking anything behind these super apostles that you would try to follow. But though I be rude in speech, I'm not like the Greek philosophers who can stand and be great orators. I'm rude in speech, but not in knowledge.
Amen.
Not in knowledge. I may not be an impressive speaker, but I know Christ.
Amen.
Yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now Paul not only talks about himself, but he talks about the other missionaries who were companions with him, men like Luke and Timothy and Titus. And he says, listen, everything about us was manifest. All these accusations that are being hurled at us, you know they're not true, because everything about us was on display for you when we were with you.
Amen.
Everything about us, who we were, our character, our message, what we know about Jesus, it was all there for you to see and understand. So he's challenging them to not be turned away from the simplicity that's in Christ because of the truth of the gospel that they had accepted, because of the Holy Spirit that they had accepted, because of the Jesus that they already knew, and because of the character and testimony of the men who brought that message to them. God help us to never be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Amen.
Let's stand together.